welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 261 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. You alright, Sean?
I'm good, and we're in sequence this week.
Yeah, apparently I might have made an error with sequencing of podcast numbers. Is that right?
Something like that.
I remember trying ages ago, man, flipping probably about episode 50 or 60, trying to just ditch episode numbers.
It's useful having them.
But
it is, especially people that I found the podcast, and so now I've gone back to number one, and I'm listening to them all.
People like numbers. Maybe we should do it in seasons. Season one, episode 15.
All right, yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. We're too late. We need to start another podcast, and we'll do that again. Which maybe we should do. Maybe we could do that one day. If we only had time. I wish I had more time to do more podcasts.
Are you feeling a regret?
That's one of my regrets. That's the episode today. We're talking about regret. We'll come on to that shortly. liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look for all the show notes and links. All previous episodes, clearly labelled and numbered, are there for your perusal. you can sign up to our mailing list as well. We'll send you weekly alerts for the show, and you'll get some free meditation files, discount code for the book, Live in the Present, and lots of other cool stuff as well. What have you been up to, Sean?
I've been away to Norfolk.
Cool.
Which was amazing.
You've been there before, right?
We've been there a few times. Went to a Damien Hirst exhibition, which was pretty gruesome.
Yeah, I saw the pictures that Reid put up on Instagram.
Yeah.
Was it all Damien Hirst stuff, was it then?
It was at a big sort of country estate, and in the grounds, in the building as well, they had all these massive things. And Damien Hirst had done sculptings in Qatar as well when I was there. And I kind of get some of the stuff that he's doing.
Yep.
But I have problems with brackets. Is this art?
Yeah, man. Anything can be art, though, can't it? This podcast is art. Anything creative.
Art is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. Tracy Emin's Unmade Bed and all that. I love seeing arguments about what is art.
Yeah.
Is it art?
What is that?
Anything is art, isn't it? If you say it is.
I can remember when I was playing a lot of music and you'd be tuning your guitar and it'd be slightly out of tune, but you'd go, oh, it's near enough for jazz, you can play it.
I've been away as well. We've had our textbook trip up to Northumberland, which delivered once again. The kids are getting a bit older now, obviously, so we can take them around some more interesting historical sites and what have you. So I want to give a shout out for Chillingham Castle.
All right.
Great little castle, big castle, hidden away in the countryside. It's just rammed full of just crazy artifacts and stuff, and there's a little torture bit down the mad torture devices, which my three-year-old was absolutely loving because he loves all this pirate stuff and ghost stories and all that stuff. So Chillingham Castle, anywhere near it, take a look.
All right. Well,
are we on the right setting here? I'm looking a bit low on the old.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
What's that,
okay. I'm seeing lines. Let's carry on.
We need a proper sound engineer.
We do, don't we?
Yeah, look, the lines are bigger now.
That's much better. Loud and clear. I'm happy. Okay, cool. Hopefully everyone's still with us after this point. We'll crack on. You sent me an article, didn't you, while you were away, which talks about regret.
Yeah. And I deal with a lot of people that are experiencing the regret.
Mm-hmm.
It's the if only I had or if only I hadn't.
Yeah, well, I'm sure everyone out there can relate to it in one form or another. Have you got any regrets, Sean, off the bat, you want to talk about?
I don't really have any. I've had tough stuff in life. I think that, I think one past relationship was a bad decision that probably left me with more problems. If I had not gone into it, I would have ended up in a better condition, perhaps. But life is life, you know.
And it might not have led you to meeting me or coming back to the world or who knows and your current decent little setup, eh?
Yeah. But I like this quote, right? We all make mistakes, have struggles, and even regret things in our past. But we're not our mistakes and we're not our struggles and we are not our past. We are now and we have the power to live in the day and shape the day.
Yeah.
That's a guy called Steve Maraboli.
Maraboli.
Yeah.
It's a good one, man. Yeah.
And I think that's really real, isn't it? You can spend your life focusing on what you didn't do, or you did do, or whatever, and you can live that every day.
Yep.
Or you can actually live in the day and leave those struggles and those regrets, those mistakes back there, because you can't redo them. Mm-hmm. You know, the best thing you can do is, if you can, apologise, if you can, put things right. But either which way, you have to let it go.
Yeah.
And get into the moment, get into the present.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I've been thinking about my regrets, and there are a couple of big-ish ones, but I don't regret them really now because my life's on a pretty good track at the moment. But yeah, I had an opportunity after university to travel with friends, and they went away for 6 months and did the whole Far East,
yeah,
Australia and across to America thing, and I didn't, because I didn't want to take out a massive fat loan after my student loan, which they all did to fund it. But they have these amazing stories that they regale us with all the time still, and I would have paid the money off by now easily, I'm sure.
But that's one of the things, isn't it? It's like, regrets are not usually so much about what we did do. The regrets about what we didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, if only I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the quotes here, I'm onto the quotes page here. So this is on a Pinterest quote, and it says, "Fear is temporary, but regress is forever." So I think about people maybe that are scared to do something because they're scared to get on the stage or get on the plane or get on the boat, whatever it is, and then they regret forever not having been able to do it.
Yep.
You know, because of what would have been at the other end of it. And that fear is only a temporary thing, but the event that you're going to, whatever, is a big thing on the other side.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, the other one I think about quite a bit is where I live, the place I've chosen on the world to live and work. I remember when my wife was finishing some teaching practice. She's a teacher in London after uni, or the tail end of her uni course. She was given the opportunity to stay in London and work there. And we talked about it, and I think it was kind of my decision, really, to say, nah, I'll come back up here and we'll stick it in the quiet northwest of England. And it's worked out beautifully, to be fair. But then every now and again, I go to London and I see the hustle and bustle of the town and the busyness of what's going on there. I think I could have been a part of all that.
Would you want to be there?
I don't know. Well, I'm a tourist there, so I see it maybe through rose-tinted glasses.
Having been born in London and lived in it and then having escaped it,
yeah.
When I go back, it's kind of interesting, and there's an issue of nostalgia about it, but I think, no, I don't want to be here.
I don't spend too much time worrying about it, but every now and again I think, it's just that what if, where would have I ended up? Because I would probably have, the sands of time would have shifted completely. I'm sure we would have still got married, but we would have had different kids, obviously different relationship with our parents. We would be very close still, but not, you know, we live right around the corner from them now.
Yeah.
See them all the time, which is cool. So
yeah,
it's worked out perfectly, but it's just that what if, isn't it? Would I be living, cruising around the Mediterranean on a yacht? No.
But would you want to be?
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because I think that one of the issues when we were looking at this in that article is the issue about, we've all got this kind of idealised self. And then once we create this idealised self, if we don't get to that point, we don't create whatever that is, that's when we start to feel the regrets because we're not good enough.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's what the article specifically talks about in terms of regret, isn't it? It's about how can you live up to your own expectations, and it's almost impossible to, isn't it? Because most people are reasonably ambitious as youngsters, or we see things going on in the world and we think, I want to be a part of that, I want to be one of those when I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for me, I was fortunate enough, or I was born with the right kind of brain, that I was pretty good at arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the 11 plus when I was 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
Passed it with flying colours, and then I'm off to grammar school because I've passed this one little specific test which judges people on a certain specific set of skills. But then I arrive at grammar school and I see a picture of a Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, who went to the same school, and all these other famous names that also attended, and I'm all of a sudden being told, or subliminally even, you're going to be a future important
Prime
person.
Minister.
Prime Minister, maybe. Yeah, still might do it.
Prime Minister Ed.
So it's that kind of... But then quickly, you know, after a year or two of being at the school, you realise that that's probably not going to happen. And I was going down the creative route, the arts, so I probably wasn't even going to go to a red brick uni college, Oxford, Cambridge.
Yeah, you went to a red brick.
So yeah, I went to a what was then a polytechnic. It's a university now, but it was before that it was a college. So worked out fine. But it's that kind of we have these systems where regret is kind of built into our daily lives, isn't it? Weirdly, and how the.
But only if we allow it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What about this for a quote? Like this one. Never regret anything because at one time it was exactly what you wanted.
Yep, okay.
So we made a decision at that point to do or not to do.
Mm.
That was exactly what we wanted at that moment. Then afterwards we beat ourselves up for not wanting something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. It's interesting stuff. There's an article, a famous one, which we've mentioned loads of time on the show. Top five regrets of the dying. I think it was a palliative care nurse kind of spoke with patients over many years, but realised, I don't know if it's a he or she actually, had these kind of five bulk categories of regrets that people would talk to her, him or her about. That's basically they were fading away.
Yeah,
It's fascinating stuff. So we'll go through the five again because I don't think we can talk about this stuff enough, to be honest.
Mm.
We could have a whole podcast series dedicated to these.
Mm-hmm.
But number one, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me.
I think that is so true for so many people. And I see that a lot as Britain's become more multicultural, the cultural beliefs or values of a certain group of people can put the person at odds with the rest of society because they're doing what the family is telling them they ought to do rather than what they're feeling like they want to do.
Yeah.
I think that's a really big one.
Living the dreams of others, it's easier than ever, isn't it? I mean, you're looking at magazine stands and social media and it's so easy to fall into the trap of living someone else's dream rather than your own.
When I was a kid, that you were told that if you got a job in a bank, the police, or you became a teacher, or, you know, that kind of thing, you had a job for life. You know, that's what you should do. That was the sensible thing.
Yeah.
You know, whether you actually have a job for life in any of those things anymore, I don't think so.
No, but we've talked about that in the past, you know. The important thing is to keep learning, to retrain, to learn new skills, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, number two, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Now, this is an interesting one because it's not like a default, everyone is working too hard, is it? Because if you're enjoying your work, then you're on the right track, surely.
But that's the thing that you and I talk about you and I don't go to work. We enjoy our lives and we get paid for what we do.
Yeah.
And that's different to going to work, doing something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Maybe with people you don't want to be with, you know.
So you don't have to read that, I wish I hadn't worked so hard, and say, right, I need to step back and ease off, because for me personally, I was away last week, but I was actually looking forward to getting back to my desk and my emails and stuff, because I'm really enjoying the work I'm doing, and it's working, inverted commas, because I've got my design stuff, which I'm loving, the podcast, I love doing that as well, but then I've got all this active travel environmental stuff that I've just dive straight into, and I've just got loads of emails to reply to, and there's Mersey Travel want to talk to me, I'm doing a bit for Merseyside Police, all these weird little messages I've sent out are coming back and people are getting in touch with me, asking for help, and I'm really enthused by it all.
Brilliant.
So I'm enjoying actually getting up in the morning and going for it.
It doesn't feel like work.
No.
And that's the point, isn't it?
So my regret at the moment, if it's a regret, is that I haven't got enough time to get all this stuff done.
Is that a regret for you? I mean, how can you regret that there's not enough time?
Yeah,
I mean, whoever designed the system got it wrong.
Yeah.
There should be 36 hours in the day. What's the matter with 24? It's crazy. For me, I enjoy what I do. And there was a guy who I think was amazing, who did what I do, who died 2 weeks before, you know, he worked up until 2 weeks before he died at the age of 96.
Beautiful.
And he was still working.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we call him at work, he was still a therapist.
Inverted commas,
Yeah, and I mean, that's brilliant. I think that I probably need to do less than I do. I mean, we talked in
for
the
your
past
own
about,
mental health.
I wanted to be doing more creative stuff, more, you know, writing. And I even got a plan to carve a rocking horse I'm going to do before I die. you know, stuff like that.
Yep.
And the creating the time to do that, which what you're talking about, is my life tends to get eaten by a lot of demands from a lot of organisations, a lot of people.
Yep.
And I'm complicit in that. I'm not saying I'm a victim. But I need to adjust it a bit.
Okay.
I need an apprentice, that's what I
mean. Ah, yeah, if there's anyone out there.
Yeah, I need an apprentice.
Yeah, me, Sean. I know we are very alike in many ways, but... Well, I need a few letters after my name to do what you do there.
I'll give you a few.
Okay, cool. I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. It's the third one mentioned on that Guardian article. Which, you know, for us Brits with a stiff upper lip and, you know, get on, keep calm and carry on attitude can be, that must apply to pretty much everyone that's listening.
But that's hot for me with several people I've been working with of late who have felt that they have sacrificed their own life and their own feelings for the good of the family. In most cases, it's the woman. But there's that, suddenly there's an awakening in the mid to kind of later life, of suddenly realising that you spend so much time focusing on the needs of other people, you actually haven't attended to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big one. Because some people then say, oh, it's too late, I can't. And other people just go have the midlife crisis, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to teach my little lads to express themselves properly and, you know, talk about feelings and, you know, try not to be that dad that just tries to stop them crying when they are crying, you know, let them cry and let them know that it's an okay thing to do.
And just pull yourself together.
All that kind of stuff. But, you know, sometimes I will, you know, I'm out and about, I'm like, shut up, stop crying, desperately trying to, you know, throw a blanket over their heads or something. But it's an okay thing to do, isn't it?
Well, throw blankets over their heads. I think you get arrested for that.
Yeah, but to express ourselves.
Yeah, it's really, really important. And there's so much evidence now with when you don't express your emotions, how you can create ill health in your body.
Yeah.
Whether it's tension or whether it's actual sort of gastrointestinal.
Yeah, well, I've had a recent experience with that, really, because I've had this small little skin cancer thing which I've had checked out, and I'm taking, got some cream treatment at the moment I'm on the go with, so it's all fine. It's, you know, it's nothing to worry about. But I did have this 8-week period where before, when I was getting the biopsy and getting the results back, where I was quite anxious about it, and I wasn't really telling anyone that I was being chirpy happy Ed that I always am.
Yeah. But I'm fine.
Yeah, I did lose a bit of weight in that period, and I'm pretty sure it was down to just nervousness.
When we were walking down the corridor just then, I was walking behind you and I thought, blimey, your trousers are going to fall down in a minute. Where's your bum gone?
Yeah, my shoes have dropped up.
So how much weight have you lost?
Only a few pounds, but I'm less than 9 stone anyway.
Yeah, so it looks like a lot on you, a few pounds.
So I've gone from 9 stone 1-ish to 8 stone 10 in like a couple of months, which is not much, but
you can tell the difference
percentage wise.
Yeah,
it's actually quite a bit, you know.
Yeah, I'm 9 stone in a bit.
Okay.
So I need to lose a bit.
Yeah, you're carrying a bit extra.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got too much to worry about. But no, I mean, these are like the physical outcomes of what can happen when you bottle things up, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And I think
it's not always losing weight. It can be obviously gaining weight.
The issue about when you get more logical, when you go further up the globe, so you get higher rates of heart issues and strokes and the blood pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you go down to the south towards the equator, you get more kind of stomach and gut issues.
Wow.
But it's we have sacrificed emotion for survival. Up in the northern hemisphere, it's that survival through the winter stuff.
Wow.
No manana up here, you've got to get the food in.
Yeah, interesting. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Okay. Which we talk about sometimes on the show about how you need to cut certain people out of your life to, you know, politely and, you know, with empathy. But we can...
It's weird friendship. It's like, I know lots of people that have friends forever. Some people are cut and runners, you know, they go. I found that friends are quite specific. It's a bit like when you're at university and everybody says, oh, yeah, we must keep in touch forever, but they don't. I mean, your guys did, didn't they?
Yep.
Our
school pals were all pretty tight still.
Yeah.
So
friendship is a weird kind of thing, because how much of friendship is relevant to what you're doing at the time? There'll always be people that you meet. Just choked it up.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take over for a second, because... Well, no, yeah, I've got this. I'm lucky. quite unique, really. I've got this group of pals from school, so 11, 12, that I met at my grammar school, which is the best thing that came out of that school. It was a great time on the whole, and I learned a lot, but the best thing was the group of friends that I made. There's five or six really tight pals.
It's good when you meet somebody from years and years ago, and it's like you just met them yesterday.
But then, you know, I'm getting a new set of pals now. I can see, obviously, from this building here, the office gang are really cool. And the school run, you know, you meet parents and other mums and dads as part of the school process with, you know, Will's getting pally with his mates and we're getting pals with the mums and dads, so that's quite cool.
To dinner parties, isn't it?
Well, my parents, all their group of friends locally are from the school gates, and they're all like super duper best pals with them all, and they still go for dinner every week, and all from the school days.
Amazing.
So I don't think they'll have any regrets in terms of that, but I guess it means more in, like, not spending enough time with friends, isn't it, is what the point is.
Giving them
is
value.
Do you want to take a bit of time to clear your throat?
I don't know what's about my throat.
I can edit this out.
I know I'm going to start singing the blues in a minute. That's fine. Hey, come on.
Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
Because, you got many, it doesn't have to be school pals, but have you got many friends that you haven't stayed in touch with that you wish you had?
No. I've got lots of people that I am in touch with.
Yeah.
From a distance, really, because they were all over the world, didn't they? But, And I do get odd visits from people. They come up.
It's easier than ever now, isn't it? I know you can have these digital relationships where you send text messages every now and again. And WhatsApp and Facebook is great for pictures and Instagram and all that stuff.
Yeah, but using Skype and stuff like that, you can actually be with people, which is good.
Yeah, I used to use this daily habit app called Lyft, was it? I don't think it's changed its name. I don't even know what it's called now. But one of my little daily habits that I had to do was to tick and get the full hit was to text or message a friend or a friend or family member that I hadn't spoken to in a while, so I had this kind of list of 50 or 60 people that I would just once a day I would send a message to one of them and just say, how you doing, get a little conversation going. But I don't do that anymore, but it was cool.
Maybe you should.
Maybe
you
actually
might regret it.
I know. I regret it, maybe a little bit. Right, number 5, I wish that I had let myself be happier.
I think that's a
what's
real...
all that about, man?
Well, my mother used to say to me,
blow your nose.
Who told you you're supposed to be happy? It's that kind of thing, you know. Everyone's got their cross to bear. You know, life's hard, life's earned, someone's got to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, why? And it's like, can we allow ourselves to be happy and fulfilled, or do we have to go through this life's a struggle, life's a problem?
Is that
life's
like,
a bitch and then you're dead.
Is that a Catholic thing?
I think there's a lot of Catholicism in there.
So what, are you supposed to regret? Are you supposed to feel guilty about things in certain...
Well, life is suffering, you know. And there's bits of Buddhism like that too. That, you know, until you become enlightened, you just suffer the pains of life kind of stuff.
Yeah. I can't get my head around that last one. I wish I'd let myself be happier, but...
Yeah.
I can sort of see where it's coming from, but I need to think longer and harder about that one.
I think that I've learned a lot about happiness, and I my life is a happy life. You know? Every life has struggles, as I said in that quote. You know, there's always going to be things that happen, things that get wrong, things you've got to deal with, and that's okay. That's what life's about.
Yeah. You know? I guess it's making sure that those things that do go wrong, when they do, as they will, don't turn into regrets. You have a choice, don't you? Whether something is regret or not. And you can we have a lot of time on Earth, whether you get to live for 40, 50, 80, 100 years. Life is a bit longer than a lot of people think, isn't it?
And you can go back and sort things out in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do have things that you are regretting, see whether you can deal with them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, my two regrets I mentioned earlier on, I still have time, fingers crossed, to visit those places. I probably would do it differently than if I was a 21-year-old doing full moon parties and stealing flip-flops from outside.
Full moon parties, that sounds like everyone drops their pants.
Yeah, I think that is part of the process from what I've seen. I could still travel that part of the world, and I hopefully still will, actually. You're still, you know, I'm not in a mad rush, but and likewise, living in London, I probably won't ever live in London, but I could.
You can go and stay there.
I'm going there at the weekend, actually.
Oh, yeah, oh, there you go.
To meet up with me, bro, so
yeah,
right. Get to have a little look around and dash off and enjoy the best of it.
Yeah.
Anything else? You happy?
No, I'm good.
No
I'm
regrets
good.
About we haven't. I get podcast regret, actually, like the day or two after we've recorded. I'll get regrets about things I didn't mention because I'll be stirring and mulling over the idea still.
You should write them down.
I wish I'd mentioned that.
Things I wish I'd mentioned.
But yeah.
Things I regret that I didn't mention.
Check. Yeah. Well, you can add comments at the bottom of the on the website to each podcast. So if there's anything we haven't mentioned, put it in there.
I regret not bringing your drink into the shed when we did this.
A glass of water.
Yeah.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Yeah.
What's your resource?
Okay. My thing would be, for everybody who's listening to this, to write down a list of all the things that you actually want to do, like a bucket list. So that you could write down all the things that you really do want to do in this lifetime, that maybe you've avoided, or maybe you are avoiding, or maybe they're kind of dreams, and actually go and do them. So when you do get to your deathbed, there aren't that many regrets. It's like, woo, it was a birthday.
Yeah, or even if you've hit 60, 75% of them.
Yeah.
I'm spending time on writing a bucket list or goals is important, I think, because a lot of things, life can pass, it is long, but it can pass by in a flash.
Like, where's it gone?
There's so many things to do in the world that you know, there's stuff that you might not even realise you want to do unless you spend the time thinking about it and actually... We were in Northumberland and we were just chilling out on a beach, climbing around rock pools and stuff. And this group of people went by in wetsuits and helmets and trainers, and they were coast steering, all one word, in slight activity where you just head down the coast, literally hugging onto the rocks and diving into it every now and again and going through caves. And it was like, I need to do that. That
like amazing. Mountaineering, but coast steering.
Coast steering, yeah. Brilliant activity, and they do guided tours. Right next to where we stay, so that's on my bucket list now.
Because
I don't want to. I would regret not doing that.
Yeah. Then do it.
I'm gonna do it.
Get it.
Yeah.
You kept talking to me about how you want to be, to take the first chance you get to go to outer space.
Oh yeah,
look
space.
Back at the Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a big bucket list thing of mine. I haven't thought about for a while, but yeah.
Mm.
I would certainly be up for a trip into space one day.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I haven't got a resource written down there, but I did watch a fascinating little film on YouTube, Guardian thing, just a little 10-minute film about life on board yachts, like basically the lifestyle, not of a billionaire, but the people that work on those yachts. It's quite interesting seeing the little jobs that they do, and some quite sad stories about people that haven't been looked after properly and have died, you know, the workforce of these £300 million boats that are actually, they're amazing bits of technology that have been put together, and they take a lot of people to look after, but interesting stuff, worth checking out.
Okay.
Would Good you one. Regret not owning a yacht one day?
I had a yacht once.
Did you?
Yeah, I bought a house on the Isle of Wight, and the guy said, when I'd done the deal, said, do you mind taking the yacht that was in the garage? And it was like a racing yachty dinghy thing, which went actually very fast. It was quite fun.
Oh, wow, flip back.
So he came with a house for free.
Can you sail then?
Fall in as good as anybody. you have to learn to duck so you don't get knocked out by the booms.
You're not supposed to fall in, are you? The water, you're supposed to stay on. Or is that some?
Oh, is that right? That's why I can't fall. I regret not taking the course.
okay, right, all done. Back next week, liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. If there's anything you would like us to talk about in an upcoming episode, please do send us an email via the website or a podcast at liveinthepresent.co.uk, and we'll get on it straight away. We'll answer your request and spend half an hour discussing your issue or something that you're maybe a loved one or a family member, a friend is going through at the moment. Find some time, won't we?
Yep, we will.
So take it easy till then. We'll see you next time.
Okay, I should go and get a drink.
Yeah, off you go. See you later.
Hi.
Bye.